talking about the Rashi, on Amud Aleph, Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah, towards the bottom Rashi. So we have this bit of Me'es Le'es, and the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean? The Gemara says two opinions. One, Rav Yochanan says it means Me'es, Me'es, from the Bedika. Kishibot Mutzon Avudin, now he checked and found that the Paris are no longer good Paris. They've rotted, etc. So Chayshish Sheva Me'esmal Beisat Zoyis Ovdu. So we have to be going back to the same time of the day, 24 hours back. So that's what Me'es Le'es means, from this time to the same time in a previous day. Ovdu, they were also possibly lost already. You know, Son Meiser, Tach Me'es Le'es Zeh, if he used this pile of produce to be meiser for other produce that he has, al peres acherim, so tzarich lahafresh aleihem misaf. He has to be mafresh again for those peres. V'tzemi ochel loyachmer rabbanon lemechish el simchin and chazaka. But midaraisa, really, this is din chazaka. The Chachamar being matzrich, that you have to be choshesh. They weren't machmer more than the 24 hours back. Now that you know that it's not valid, so we're going to... Midaraisa Chazaka says it was intact until the last possible moment, so maybe the loss took place just before you checked. The Chachamar machmer and said, we're not going to allow the hafrash of the last 24 hours to be valid. You're going to have to redo it, misafik. But Rabbi Yonah, I said, from Eis Shaleis of the Hanocha, Rizik Choshet Morfeya Kol Yomim Ad Me'es Le'es Shal Hanocha Rishayna. So we know that when he put it there, the last time that he knew they were intact, or directly the same thing, we checked on them and they were intact. So you have 24 hours post that, any usage of the pile for the purposes of Shumas and Meisters would be effective. Anything after that, we can't rely on it. Yemechad Sholim Machzikinan Luhu Bechazok Becheskes Kayamin Beyadua. We assume that we have a definite knowledge that they were intact for 24 hours after the last checking or the original placement. Misham Adkan Suffolk, we ask of Yitrum, and anything after that, the intervening weeks, is a Suffolk, and you have to be Matrim and be Turim and be Maaser again, me Suffolk. Some more asked from the language of the Mishnah. You're concerned for 24 hours. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's true. According to Rabbi Yanai, you're concerned for weeks. It's only one day is the chashash. So all of the days are concerned except for the 24-hour period. So choshesh to mafrei ad me'es le'es mi boyle. It should have written we are choshesh retroactively up to, but not including 24 hours post the last checking. Fine. And the more brought than the Mishnah that this statement was the statement of Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar the Amara clarified that statement and said the Chachamim argue. Rabbi Elazar ben Pados de Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemur de Masnisin Ubraisa. When you find Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Pados. When you find Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah Ubraisa, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Shemur. So Rabbi Elazar the Amara clarified that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Shemur. Kalukan that we don't give this person a 24-hour period. We are choshesh hoyel benimsu avudin. We found that they are avudin. Uchol peres shetiknu ayeli ois in peres tzarech lachzor lahafresh. So everything from the last time that you knew that it was intact until now is no longer valid. Retroactively, we have to read and we have to redo them. So we had a mikveh which we knew was sholem, and that was the assumption. And now we checked it and we found that it's no longer sholem. So you person used, he had kelim which are tameh, went to the mikveh, was matar them, and then he used them for chuma or for taharis. So now we know that the mikveh was not, we said the mikveh was not sholem, means the tefillah of the kelim was not valid. These kelim really were tameh, and now the chuma is tameh, or the taharis are tameh. So called chumas, taharis, and nishtam, shubahen, bekelim. So any, all of the chumas and the taharis, which the kelim, which had been nitar through this mikvah, or vanoshim, shetoblim, chumasan, ba'isa mikvah, or people which were table in the mikvah, and now they touch chumas and taharis, etc. And they themselves, all of them, me'arlim, from, well, me'arlim means since, from the last time you knew, all of them are, they're going to be tameh. So Ben Shemikr B'Shisha Yachid, the Kaimel on Sabak Tumor B'Shisha Yachid, Sveka tameh. So it's a Sabak Tumor. Well, if it's a Sabak Tumor B'Shisha Yachid, it's tameh, because we have a rule, Sabak Tumor B'Shisha Yachid is tameh. But Ben B'Shisha Rabim, the Kaimel on Sveka Tor. Sabak Tumor B'Shisha Rabim is Tor. So over here, if we're dealing with it as a Sabak, B'Shisha Rabim, it should be Tor. And therefore the Mishnah says, no, that's wrong. Even in B'Shisha Rabim, it's Tameh, which tells us, Hacha Tameh, that this is not with like a Vadai. Why? It's not, we don't know for sure. B'Chirminan, Sabak Tumor B'Shisha Rabim, Tor. Because that rule of Sabak Tumor B'Shisha Rabim is Tor has rules when it applies. We don't know if chuma was started at all. It's possible that he never became tameh. So there you say sabak tumah shazam is torah. Was there shahaya tameh vaday about the ball of taro betvilas sofik? Here we knew he was tamei vaday, and you're saying, well, but maybe the tara was valid. So we have a rule: al tzareno misafik. So the safik tvi'lo cannot be moitzi from the vaday tuma. So you don't say tamei tuma shas rabim is torah in that situation. Another way of saying is that since he had a cheskes tamei, sabak tumah shel rabim doesn't apply. In general, Rashi throughout Shas, but many times when Rashi explains that how chazaka works, Rashi uses the same phrase. I know for sure X, and want to say maybe Y happens. You don't change something based on maybe. That's how Rashi understands the logic of chazaka. So the word says pshita de chalukin mihamas nisan, that this mishnah it clearly indicates that there's somebody who argues on our mishnah. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, my ashmin, and what is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos teaching us that we didn't know? Hamas nisan behedyas and on tameis. The mishnah says explicitly over there that they're tamei. That's not like our mishnah. Okay, so we're going to go through. The Mishnah said that you would check three times. You check right after Sukkot when there was this Ruach Kadim, this east wind was blowing. Then, but saw smadar, and then when the boiser would be there, Kinesis Mayim in the boiser. If you don't remember, give a prokim. Tana b'kidum shemotzi chag shatzkufa. So there, the Braisa adds that we're saying the Ruach Kadim by Matzi Chag, well, these sound like more like solar issues, the seasons of the year issues, and Sukkot is on a lunar calendar with intercalation for solar to connect it with the solar months, but the solar year. But that's not always corrected. That correction takes place every few years. So meanwhile, Sukkot doesn't take place exactly at the same time. So I need to know, when I'm looking at Timotzi Sukkot, it's not a clear time to look at because that doesn't correspond with the seasons of the year. So the Braisa says, that's only if Motzi Chag Shel Tekufa, if you also have Tekufa, there's four Tekufas in the year. And the Tekufas are Tekufas Tishrei, which corresponds basically to fall. Tekufas Teves, which is winter. Tekufas Nisan, which is spring. And Tekufas Tammuz, which is summer. They're not tied to the months. They're tied to the seasons of the year. So it's possible Pesach has to fall out after Tekufas Nisan. That's one of the reasons, one of the calculations they would consider when intercalating a month, adding a month, was because Pesach had to be after Tekufas Nisan. So if Tekufas Nisan falls out on April 21st, right. So it doesn't. But let's say it did. So Pesach has to be after that, right? So it have if based on the lunar the year, Pesach can fall too early, we'd have to add a month. But Sukkot and Tekufas Tishrei don't have to fit. So Tekufas Tishrei, it's possible that Sukkot prior to Tekufas Tishrei, it's possible that Sukkot post Tekufas Tishrei. This halacha that we're saying that you check it by kiddum of the Matzi Chag, it's only if it was also after Tekufas Tishrei. For our purposes nowadays, so the Mor gives two ways to calculate the Tekufas. We have the more precise calculation of Ravada, and you have the very, very general calculation that Shmuel gave. So we use the more precise calculation of Ravada for figuring out the rules for the Iber Shana of adding a month. But Shmuel's Tekufa was used for the things that were given over to the general populace. That the other calculation was very, very complicated. So Shmuel had a very, very basic way to remember the Tekufas. So, for example, in regards to St. Talamot, the Mor says in Babel, they would do it 60 days after the Tekufa. Means you would figure out when Tekufas Tishrei is, add 60 days, and then you would start saying with Saint Talamotzer. So, for that purpose, for our now in this cycle, Tekufas Tishrei is on October 7th. So. 60 days after that is December 5th. That's where you get St. Talamotzer. So Sukkot theoretically could be before or after the October 7th. So with regards to our Mishnah, the calculation in the Mishnah is saying that it has to be the Motzi Chag and it's already Tekufas Tishrei. And just as a heads up, this year we start saying Talamotzer on the 5th going into the 6th, because it's the year before a leap year. The other 3 years in the leap cycle, it's on December 4th going into December 5th. Tekufas Tishrei, according to Shmuel, falls out on the 3 and the 9. So this year it falls out October 7th at 9 p.m. If you wouldn't add a day next year, next year would fall out on the October 8th at 3 a.m., 6 hours, moves forward 6 hours every year. So, but since we add a day, February, next year there'll be February 29th. So instead of being 3 a.m. October 8th, it's 3 a.m. October 7th. And then in 2020 it's 3 a.m. In 2021 it'll be 9 a.m. In 2022 it's gonna be 3 p.m. So it falls out on October 7th. 6 days later is December 5th, 3 p.m. So theoretically, Mincha will be davened after 60 days after the tkufa, and therefore you save Setzel Amotah. Once you do that, you don't split a day. So you set the night before. But this year, in the year 2023, and the year 2027, it's a full out 9 p.m. So I'm not going to be davening any of the tefillahs of the day of December 5th post the tkufa. So there's no reason to start the night before. So we start the night of the Marv of December 5th, going into December 6th. That's the thought process. Since in the year 1900 there was no leap, February did not have a leap day. In the system, the Julian, in the Gregorian system, the years 1700, 1800, 1900 did not have a leap day. So you look at Old Siddurim from the 1800s. And it was December. It was December. Instead of being fourth and fifth, it was third and fourth. And theoretically, if you would look back, we would have Siddurim, which we're using that. And they mentioned, you know, it was December, and it keeps moving. So, in the year 2100, it will move forward. Because there'll be no leap day, so it'll move forward to October 8th will be the day that you're looking at, and it'll be December instead of the 4th and the 5th, it'll be the 5th and the 6th. So if you live that long, you'll have to reset your Siddurim.
I'll make a note.
Okay. It's only 80 years away. Okay. Okay, so that was a little bit of a lesson about tkufas. I guess all we're at it, might as well just finish it off. See, each tkufa is 90, according to Shmuel, each tkufa is 91 days and 7.5 hours. So if you do the math on that, 91 times 4 is 364, and 7.5 times 4 is 30, 7 times 4 is 28, and 7 times a half, seven times four is 28. There's four tkufas. Each one is 91 days and 7.5 hours. So 91 days times four is 364. Then the 7 hours times four is 28. The 7.5 hours times four is two. So that's 30, which gives you 24 hours is one day. So that's 365 days. And then you have 6 hours left over. So assuming the solar year is 365 days and 6 hours. Which is why it keeps moving, because that's not correct. It really, but for the start giving the calculations of how long the solar year is, and how to apply that to tkufas, etc., we get too complicated. So Shmuel said we'll use the Julian calculation of 364, which is why it keeps moving. There was the same problem that the Julian calendar had, Shmuel's tkufas having. I think somebody made a calculation, you know, by the year 4000 and something. So based on this movement, you know, each 100 years you start saying, or in every 400 year period you move forward 3 days. So eventually you're going to start saying Saint Helen Motel Livrocha on the second day of Pesach. Moshiach will be here well before that. So, but that's like, theoretically, that's what's going to happen. You're going to get to the point, you stop saying it on the first day of Pesach, right? So you won't say it anymore. But Ravada's calculation is much closer to the actual solar year, which is, in general, is 365 days, 5 hours and 44 minutes and some seconds. So that's 16 minutes, 15 minutes and 37 second difference. Eventually starts adding up. Okay. Tanya Rabbi Huda Omer. Begimel Prakim Mocher Mes HaTua. There is three times a year that they would be selling the Tua. Okay. The Moor is going to ask with regards to what does this have a halachic application, and the Moor will see. So the Moor says, "Lifnei Azera, B'shas Azera, we pray a Pesach." Right before they're ready to plant, while they're planting, and then right around the harvest time, beginning of the harvest time. Price means pros means a portion, literally, like a prusa is a piece of bread. So if you find the many halachas, we start 30 days before Pesach, as we start being concerned about Pesach, etc. So price is a half of that. It's a portion of that time. So 15 days before Pesach, basically Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the wine is sold three times a year, which is Pesach Pesach, which is 15 days before Pesach, Pesach Atzeres, Pesach Chag. Meshemen, the sales times for Shemen is Atzeres Ve'elech, after Atzeres. More says the Ma'ilchus. What this brisa that we're quoting over here, with regards to what does it have an application? So I want to sell it. I can't sell it at a different time of the year. Obviously, I can sell it any time of year that I want. So what is it relevant for? More says, "Amar Rabba v'Tamar Rappa." Rabba said, "Rappa is the Talmud of Rabba." My guess is going to be that Rappa said it over, and they weren't sure 100% whether he said it over in the name of his Rebbe. So it comes out to either Rabba talking or Rappa talking. He says, L'shutfin, that they own a certain amount of produce together, and they want to sell. So anytime during the year, the right to sell the shared item requires the agreement of both parties. But these three times a year, which are the seven times to sell, that one does not have to ask permission from the other one. He has a right to assume the other person wants to sell it. And the fact that even if the person would say he doesn't want to sell it, he has a right to sell it. Now let's say the person sells it, and then the price goes up. He says, you know, because of your foolish move of selling it early, we lost out money. So I want compensation. He says, no, this is the right time to sell. But if the person would do that some other time in the year without asking and then sell it, the other person, the second shut that would have right to some compensation. We could have waited and sold it for a better price. You chose to sell it in the middle of nowhere without asking me. I wouldn't agree to that. These few times a year, that's not true. Okay. Okay, the verse is Mikan Ve'elech. From after these three times, my. So what's the halacha? Is it? I understand that you have to wait until these three times. I mean, now these three times have passed for the year. So then, what happens? That point in time, from that point onwards, people just sell. There's nothing to wait for. Okay, let's see Rashi. Shatkufa. That we look at the Ruch, the Zman of the Kadim of Matzai Chag, it's only if it's after Tkubas Tishrei. If it's still in Tkubas Tamuz has extended till post Sukkos, which means not that Tkubas Tamuz extended, but really that Sukkos was early, earlier than usual. Lo, so then this is not a, you haven't reached this time of, that you have a din to check because it's Motzei Chag, but it's still Tkuvas Tamas.
So I assume you would check then once Tkuvas Tishrei hits.
I would assume so. Yeah. I would assume so. That during any time during the year other than these times, so one partner cannot sell without the agreement of the other. Chutz the prokim alalu, abul prokim alalu. But these three occasions, in tzarchli molech, one partner does not need to discuss it with the other. And the mochar, if he did sell at one of these three times, and then the price went up, so the partner who was not consulted comes to complain to the partner who sold, why did you sell early? You could hold on to it more and made more profits. So he has no complaint against the partner who sold. But other times of the year, he would have a complaint against him, and he would have some type of, if had he done that, he says, I wasn't agreeable to that. You damaged me by selling my item early. So he would be entitled to some type of compensation. So the Moor said, from these three, after these three times and onwards, what's its status? So Rabbi said, Pirkei, Zaman Alimkir, consider the time to sell. And once it's the time to sell, one partner can sell without the consultation with the other. Tesis points out one point over here, going back to the Kufis, that there's a Moor Sanhedrin that part of Sukkot at least has to fold out. Pesach has to fold out totally post Tkufas Nisan. So if Pesach is going to fall out before Tkufas Nisan, you have to remember the Shana. Sukkot also has to, that part of Sukkot has to be post Tkufas Tishrei. So you're never going to have a Motzi Sukkot, which is after, which is still in Tkufas Tamas. So Tosfos says that the Moor says it's a Sanhedrin, but if that's, there are multiple considerations whether Ma'ar Bar Shana, if that's the only issue, we would not be Ma'ar Bar Shana. So it's possible practically to have a situation where all of Sukkot is before Tkuvas Tishrei. So that's one of the things which we are Ma'ar Bar Shana for, but only in conjunction with other, if there's other reasons as well.
And those other reasons also wouldn't be sufficient by themselves.
There are some which stand on their own,
right,
like Pesach stands on its own, but some work only in conjunction with the others, correct? Right, so
hello, good morning, Mr.
I don't remember exactly. I think Tkufas Nisan is like April 5th, April 6th. So so for example, so the, you know, this last year was a leap year. It's April 5th, right? So April 5th was the 29th of Adar. So next year, in the year 2020, April 5th is already Yud Aleph Nissan. So it doesn't take rocket scientist to figure out that in 2021 So in 2021 you're going to have a situation where based on Shmuel's Tekufa Pesach is actually before the Tekufa from Ravada's Tekufa, it's in the right time. And for the purpose of Pesach, we use Ravada's Tekufa, but that's given to Bezin to figure out.
Does Shmuel agree with Ravada? And
that's the assumption of most of the Mefarshim is that he does. He just says he needed to create, felt he needed to create a calculation for percent on the water that you can give to the average person. Bezin is figuring out intercalating months. So Bezin can deal with a more complicated calculation. So April 5th is Chaf Gimel Nissan. In 2021 and 20, and then that year going into the next year will be a leap year. Because even according to, if you wouldn't put a leap year in, even according to Ravada, you would have a problem in 2020. Okay, the Mora goes off into a little bit of a Gadita. We haven't had a Gadita for a while, so we deserve a little bit. Vahi kizrach haShemesh vayeman elokim ruach kodim charishis. So it says in Sefer Yonah that the Kikayon developed overnight, and then the Russian brought this strong east wind and killed it. So it says Charishis. So it was a Ruach Kodim, and it was Charishis. An east wind, which was Charishis, which is silent. What does that mean? So my Charishis. So the Mor says, "Omer Rav Yehuda b'shoshim and Hashavus oise tzolomim tzolomim b'yam." So it's a lotion of, not a lotion of cheresh, of quiet, but cheresh, plowing. That it was strong enough that it would make furrows in the ocean. It means it would create very large waves, and you'd have this in between the swells. You have these deep troughs, so it looks like you're having furrows. Amalei Rabba, Ihachi, if that's what it means, so Hanu Dixiv, Batach Hashemesh Al Rosh Yerna Vayisalof, if it's such a strong wind, the sun would not have the same effect. Right? The point was that it was heating up, but a very strong wind doesn't necessarily indicate that it's heating up. So the point of the puzzle was that it was so hot that Yonah fainted from heat exhaustion. Elamur Rabba b'shoshim and Hashemus m'shtekas kol aruchos b'paneu. Lashon Charishis is a language of cherish, of quieting. It's such a strong wind that it stops all the other winds from blowing. Yohanan Lusiv, and that's a pasuk in Iyov, which says, I don't have the kudos over here. Asher begadecha chamim behashkit eretz midorom. Okay. What does that mean? So Omer of Tachlifa, Bar of Chist, Omer of Chist. Emesai begodecha chamim. When did you feel like that even with your desert clothing to protecting you, you still feel you become heated? B'shoa shehishkit eretz midorom. When the southern wind stops blowing. When the southern wind is able to blow, it weakens the other winds, and there is a certain cooling effect which the southern wind has. But over here, the Ruach Kadim overpowered that, and therefore the world heated up, and that's why he heated to the point that he fainted. Okay, let's see. Let's just see the Rashi for that piece. Like the furrows of the plow, the Hanu Harisha is Lashon Harisha Fisha Chazaki. He said it was indicating that it was a strong wind that it made these furrows. So Rabbi said back to him, Hanu Lisiv. So why? But to me, it's a question: is how does that explain the next part of the pasuk? That the world was heating up. That's the point over here, was that there is heating. And the way you're describing it, it wants to show how strong the wind was. It was like a storm wind. Storm wind does not indicate heat. So that's why he mentions the word harishis. So that doesn't mean that. It means something else. When it blows at the time of when there's heat, it increases the heat. And it undermines any of the cooling that the other winds would have. That's why the pasuk visibly calls it harisha, to indicate that there was no cooling taking place with the wind. When the cooling of the southern wind is quieted, which means it's weakened. Which wind does that? Ruach Mizrachis, Mashtikasa. So the east wind will overpower the south wind. So when the Mashkit, I'm sorry, when the Mashkit, i.e. the east wind, blows, it undermines the power of all of the other winds, and any cooling process that they would do is undermined, and that's when you become very hot. Okay.